Are you ready to join me in transforming fear to freedom? That's the objective of the show. Are you ready to explore with me and my guests? Are you ready to get into the deep and play? This is where it's at, and that's what it's all about. No medical advice here. Use discernment and decide for yourself if the information is right for you. All views and opinions expressed on this show belong to the individual and are not necessarily shared with the producer of the show. Want more details? Go to letsgetrealchatwithkatherine.com. Now let's get it real and have some fun. Who are we going to explore with today? Come on with me and let's get into the deep.
Woohoo! Are you ready to get inspired? I'm telling you, this is going to be a fun show. I'm Catherine Whalen-Coston, host and producer of Let's Get Real, chatting with Catherine and owner of Catherine Publishing. And today we're going to be sitting down for a chat with Jennifer Hoffman. Jennifer Hoffman has been working in the spiritual light worker type industry or spiritual realm for many years, and she's had a really interesting journey to this understanding. So we're going to talk to her about that. She has books available, she has tools available that you can actually access through her website, which I'll put the link right here for you, as well as she has a regular blog talk radio show that people can call into, and you can get into the question and answer part with her and get into the queue and get your answer, your question answered. So that's really cool. She has a very close relationship with Archangel Uriel, and so I'm going to ask her about that, as well as Jennifer is a very practical, no-nonsense kind of person. That's why I wanted to have her on the show, because she shares from that, she's a bridge between that spiritual, energetic world and our practical day-to-day world. She's not afraid to talk about politics or social issues or things going on in our day-to-day, and she brings her own particular insight into that, and I find it really refreshing, because a lot of times people think that if you're spiritual, you have no right to even express a political point of view, which is absurd, because politics affects all of us. I mean, it comes from that Greek word, you know, which is of and for the people. And so we have to, you know, really, I feel like we have to start to understand a little bit more about what's going on in our world. And I love the way Jennifer is able to just, you know, nail it. She just says it like it is. And of course, it's her point of view, but I find it refreshing. And I think you're going to enjoy this chat. I know I am. And so let's get into this chat with Jennifer Hoffman on Let's Get Real, chatting with Catherine right now.
All right, welcome back to Let's Get Real, chatting with Catherine and my guest today, Jennifer Hoffman, the amazing, inspirational woman that is just bringing... You've been doing this for so long, Jennifer, that your bio is extensive, but welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Catherine, and I'm really glad to be here and to be talking to you today and to sharing my message with your audience.
Yeah, well, I'm saying in the intro, it's, you know, I love your no-nonsense approach. I love the fact that you are able to, you're a bridge between that spiritual realms and our practical daily lives. And I love that, because a lot of people kind of have disconnected, thinking it's one or the other, and it's not. We're so much more, and you bring that message forward really well. But for people who are following you, they already know all this story. But for people who are new to your work, I wanted you, if you would, to share with us, how did you, you know, come to your spiritual gifts and your channeling and your relationship with Archangel Uriel is one of your big moments there. So could you kind of take us back a little bit and give us some of that?
Okay. Well, I've always been intuitive. I had my first intuitive kind of experience that I remember when I was 2.5 years old. I always thought everybody was like this. I didn't know it was anything unique or special. And like I said, I've always been this way, but I never really used it. I started kind of halfway channeling back in the early 90s, and then I stopped. And then in 2003, it was in October, I was visited by Archangel Uriel, and literally visited. So I was doing a reading for a friend kind of as a fun thing, and she's staring at me, and I finally stopped talking, and I said, "What's wrong with you? Why are you looking at me like that? Have I turned pink or something, or green?" And she said, "Jennifer, your voice is changing and you're glowing." And I thought, oh shoot. And I said that because I kind of knew what was happening. I knew that something was in contact with me, and I really wanted to have a corporate career. I mean, my big dream was, I was in technology, to run an IT department for a Fortune 50 company. I mean, that's really, I love project management, I love software implementation, I love R&D, I love all that technical world. That's really what I wanted to do. But by 2003, I'd already been laid off four times in 4 years, it would take two more layoffs, so I was laid off a total of six times in 8 years. It took two more layoffs for me to finally get the message that, okay, my corporate career was not going to be my path. Right. I cried hard. I'm an Aries. I don't give up. But when Uriel first contacted me and he said, I want you to work with me, and I said, thank you very much, but I'm really not interested. And I'm sure there are other people who really want to do this and who prepared for it, but I don't want to, and I'm not ready. This isn't something I had considered. And I kind of closed that door and thought, bye, that's it. And this was, again, in 2003. We're now in 2015. So he kept on, like, calling me. Like, I'd have dreams about him, and I would hear these messages. And, I mean, I can literally hear him talking. And I
You're
kept
being
on getting
this stalked by an angel?
Yeah, pretty much. So after about 2 months, I said, okay, I will put up one little website, and I'll write one little newsletter and let everybody know that Archangel Uriel's around for anybody who wants his help, and then that'll be done. So, again, that was 2003. I started the newsletter in February of 2004 and put up the website, and I have been writing a weekly newsletter and doing my radio show ever since.
That is just amazing. It's interesting how, you know, there's that joke. If you want to have a good laugh, tell God your plans. 'Cause it's right. Like, you know, we all have our destiny, and you know, I don't know, not everyone agrees with that, but it does seem that when there is a higher purpose for our lives, you know, it keeps calling. It just keeps, and sometimes that's the reason why you're not happy in the corporate world, or you're not happy at the job you've got. So it makes sense.
Right.
But so did you actually see, see the energy of Archangel Uriel, like with your eyes, or was it more?
I have seen him a few times. I don't see him all the time. It's more of a feeling, like a presence, like just knowing that there's this presence that kind of wraps itself around me. One thing I want to say to people too is, back when I first channeled in 91, we used to have to do trance channeling, where you had to kind of take yourself out of your body and, you know, let another voice come in. And we don't have to do that anymore. And that was one of my agreements with Uriel, is that I will work with you, but I'm not about to give up my physical space for somebody else. If you want to work with me, you've got to work with me, and I'm not going anywhere. And because we've raised our vibrations, we've raised our frequencies so much, we don't need to do that kind of channeling anymore, where we go into a trance and yeah. We say weird words and a voice comes out of us that isn't ours, and then, you know, then we're done. That's really hard physically. And again, we don't have to do that anymore. So for people who've been wondering, oh, I'd like to channel, but I don't want something taking over me, that's really not the case anymore. You really don't have to do that.
Well,
I want
to
say, and I think it really bothers people sometimes, or it frightens them off, that, you know, who's going to come in? Well, you have energetic sovereignty, so you can decide who comes in. But you also don't have to worry about some other being or entity or energy taking over your physical body.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the old, you know, thoughts of being possessed, or, you know, when they used to burn witches, that was kind of the reason. I mean, there was that whole concept, right? And we've evolved, and you're a big part of that evolution by sharing what you've been sharing. I think I first started following you on Spirit Library. That's when I first was introduced to your work. And so that's been a number of years, and I always find it refreshing, because it is so grounded. And so you're really not talking airy fairy, you know, like people like to kind of, you're not, because what's, I think you're right. We've raised our vibration, but also the consciousness, people are starting to get it, that we are more than just this physical body, and perhaps even more than this lifetime and so forth. So one of the things that you were challenged into, you started writing it. So did you leave your corporate job at that point and start doing private sessions, or how did that happen?
Well, no, what happened was, so Uriel contacted me in, I think it was early October of 2003, and I was living in Phoenix, Arizona. I had moved to Phoenix to take a job, and the company that was going to hire me decided after a few weeks not to hire me. So here I am in Phoenix, no job, I'm running out of money. I had sold my house, and I used to live in Washington, D.C. I had sold my house, I had moved there, I mean, I was there. And I had the absolute worst time of my life. So it started with literally running out of money. I had to give up the house I was living in. I had to move into an apartment with a friend. I was sleeping on a little mattress on the floor in the corner of her living room. And I couldn't find a job, even though I had this terrific resume. And I would go to sleep every night and I would just cry and cry. And I would say, God, please take me home. My life sucks. This is really horrible. You're doing such a horrible job. Take me home. Thank you very much. And then I would wake up in the morning and go, darn it, I'm still here. And I just like every day for 6 months. And then in between that, the only job I could find was reading tarot cards in a metaphysical bookstore. Well, I don't know anything about reading tarot cards, but I'm a really good intuitive. So I would go to work every day and I would like be scared to death that I was going to tell somebody something wrong. They were going to think I was a fraud. Then I would really be homeless and any money at all. So you know, I would lay out the cards on the table and go, okay, what should I tell this person? And then all, you know, the messages would come. So I thought, you know, this is just hokey. I just can't believe that I'm actually, my whole living depends on this. But I ended up being like one of the most popular readers in Phoenix. I was booked for months out. I had the lawyers and doctors and all these developers and everything, these people, they were all my clients, and they would come into the store and they would ask for me, and I was, you know, making a ton of money, which was good, but I still wasn't, I mean, I was still looking for a job at the time, because this, for me, this was just like my in-between job. Like, I'm going to do this until I get a job. And a couple things happened. One is I created a free trip to France, which I write about in my book, 30 Days to Everyday Miracles. So this was, you know, I was still working at the metaphysical bookstore. I was still asking God to take me home every night because my life was so terrible. I was still living in my friend's apartment, you know, sharing that apartment. And I decided one day, it was in June, I wanted to go to France. You know, what do you do when you don't have any money and you're almost broke and you're, you know, all the stuff you did keep is in storage and you're struggling to pay for everything and you're doing a job that you are scared to, you're just scared to death, period. So I grew up in France. I was born in France. So I speak French, and that's kind of a clue to this story. So I decided I want to go to France for a couple weeks, so a place I wasn't familiar with. And I just, you know, I'm sitting there trying to pay my bills, like doing my monthly budget, trying to figure out how much I can pay on everything so that I don't completely run out of money. And 2 days later, I got an email from someone that I had known in D.C. that I didn't even know had my email address. And I hadn't talked to him in a while, like months. And he had a tour going to France. He was a travel agent in August and needed a translator. Would I go?
Wow.
So I got this free, all expense paid trip to France that he paid me for going on, because I couldn't have gone if he hadn't paid me. I already didn't have any money, so yeah. I couldn't be gone for 2 weeks from a job where I didn't get paid if I didn't work, and he paid me to go. So I ended up going on this wonderful trip to France, and I like got paid for going. And when I came back, I actually got a corporate job. I got a job, I think, working at, I was in Wells Fargo or DHL, one of the two. Everything in my life changed. And
can you tell the people the name of your book again? Because I think that's an important, that you've got more than one book, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's several.
Yeah. Let people know what your books are, just not to stop the flow, but I think that's really cool because they can read about some of this stuff and bring it into their own lives. So 30 Day Miracle.
30 Days to Everyday Miracles.
Okay.
And what it is, it's 30 days, it's a lesson each day, and it talks about that day's lesson. So, for example, the first lesson is you are powerful. And the second lesson is you are successful. So when I was asking God to take me home every day, I was just saying, you know what, God, you're in charge here. You know, you're making a mess of my life, so stop it. And I didn't realize that I was powerful, that I was creating my life, and whatever I needed to go through then, you know, I was creating that. And as soon as I thought, you know, I really want to go to France. I shifted all that energy that I was using to say, God, please take me home, to something else, because that's all a miracle is a shift in energy from one place to the other. Mm-hmm. So I came back and from France, and I found a job that was that paid very well. And I ended up working there for a while, and then I got another job. So those were my last two jobs. I think I got laid off. I got laid off from my job at DHL, and then I got laid off from my, I had another job, and then I got laid off from, I came here, and that in 2007 was my sixth and final layoff, because by then I figured, okay, six layoffs, 8 years, I'm probably doing the wrong thing.
And you had this other avenue totally opening up, but you were still, and you know, I wanted to say, when you were talking about the tarot cards and how you were very successful at it, but you thought it was weird that you were even doing it, but that to me speaks to the fact that your ego wasn't involved. So you were just doing it, which would make you more accurate, more, you know, because you did it, you just thought it was, oh, so it obviously had to come outside of you for you to have been that big of a success. I mean, it's a real testimony to how that works and how you basically got out of the way. You didn't put any, you weren't attached to the outcome, you know? It was like,
except I didn't want to starve.
That's different, but I mean, but you weren't saying, I will starve if I don't make money doing these tarot cards. You didn't say that. So, you know, that's, to me, is non-attachment. You're just doing it, like, it's bizarre, but I'm doing it. And so the universe is delivering up all the goodies. And I mean, I think that speaks to how the universe kind of really works. So I love that.
And the other part of that, too, is the universe was giving me all this confirmation that, yes, people like you, and yes, you're good at this, and yes, this is your path. And I was going, okay, but fine, but you know what? I'm going to go over here. I want a job. This isn't a job. This is like my in-between space. I want to do this.
I want the thing with that real people do, and people call a job and so forth. Yeah, that, okay.
And you also mentioned Spirit Library. So while this was all going on, one of my friends called me and she said, do you know you're the number one channel on Spirit Library? And I said, what's Spirit Library? I didn't even know that they were sharing my messages. So I go to their site and I see me, Jennifer Hoffman, number one, and next to Doreen Virtue. I'm ahead of Doreen Virtue. Well, I didn't know that. So did I think that was a great thing and that was another confirmation? Oh, no. I just said, that's really nice. Thank you. Can I get a job now?
I just love it. I just love your tenacity that you're still kind of saying to God, yeah, well, that's great, but here's the way I've defined it. Yeah, exactly. So then you have these other books that have come after. Was that your first book?
Yes. 30 Days Every Miracles was my first book. And, you know, it was interesting writing your first book because you think of writing a book and, oh, it's really hard. Well, it was kind of hard, but I'm a writer. So, you know, I churn out these newsletters and posts and messages. I've written thousands of newsletters and writing comes very easily to me. But writing a book was another thing because then you go into this whole realm of, okay, are people going to read it? And what do they think? So it was a book that I wrote. I actually did a program called Miracle Coaching for a while. And my book kind of dovetailed with the Miracle Coaching. And this book includes stories of people who went through my program and who really did shift things in their lives. So I include my story, my free trip to France. But I also include stories of other clients, some of whom were successful, some of whom were not, and the way that they use this material. So it was another big step for me to write a book.
And is it still available?
Yes.
People can still get it?
It's on Amazon. You can buy the ebook on my website. Yeah, it's on Amazon, Kindle. I think it's on Barnes & Noble, too. I've got it pretty much everywhere. Okay. So, for example, my third book, which I did not want to write, was a book called, it's still available, called The Atlantis Legacy. And I wrote it in 2012. And I knew that I needed to write this book about Atlantis, but I didn't think I knew anything about Atlantis. So I kept on getting a message from Uriel, write this book on Atlantis. I'm like, oh, I'm going to sound like Edgar Casey wrote that book. That's already done. He said, no, you need to write the book. I'm like, okay, fine, I'll write the book. So I sat down, started writing, and out came this 200-page book that, again, I thought I knew nothing about. And it has helped a lot of people because it talks about things like the Atlantean guilt, which is kind of that vague underlying guilt that we all have about having destroyed the world once, which is why so many people are really trying to not destroy the world again, or, you know, create this new paradigm so we don't do it again. And one thing that I knew, though, about Atlantis that has always kind of been in the back of my mind is I don't like being in a room where I can't find the door. And I used to sleepwalk when I was younger, and I would be looking for the door. And I realized writing this book from Atlantis that when Atlantis, you know, when everybody drowned and Atlantis fell, that I had been in prison. And the person who imprisoned me was actually my mother in this lifetime. And that I drowned. I was in this jail cell, like, and I couldn't get out. So I drowned. And I've always had this, I have a terrible fear. Not a fear, but I'm very cautious about the water. I mean, I like the ocean. I love the beach, but I'll go in about up to my waist and then I won't go in anymore. And I have this fear of drowning, which, and I'm a great swimmer, but I think that all comes from Atlantis. And what I found in talking to clients and readers about the book is that a lot of their weird fears have their basis in Atlantis.
That was a very traumatic event for humans on the planet. And I think a lot of people have, maybe up until recently, thought it was a fiction. I thought it didn't really happen, that, you know, that was just a story. But when you think about all of the, like you're saying, that guilt, that seems to be guilt or fear or sense of being in a dire, you know, being afraid of life. Like, something's going to happen unexpectedly. And, you know, I hate to say this, but in some ways, I can see that those who do know it happened and do know we have that feeling of fear and guilt and persecution and everything and being jailed are using it to manipulate us now. It feels like that's sort of their, you know, I did a show last night with Debbie Colleen, and we were kind of talking about shame and that kind of stuff. And I thought, you know, that's how come it's so easy to manipulate people, because we have these genetic or historical past life stuff that's sort of in our human DNA, not just individual DNA. So it's a part of the collective. So I think that's an important story. I'm going to have to make a point to read that, because I'm curious about everything. I don't think there's anything I'm not curious about. I have an insatiable appetite to learn, to discover, to see how things go. So, and we, all of your books are available. If we went to your website, can we get all the...
You can get the details. Yeah, go to the store page and my book. So that my second book was Ascending into Miracles. Mm. And it's like 500 pages.
Hold on one second. I'm still having that. I'm turning it down a bit on my end just to see if that... Go ahead.
So my second book was Ascending into Miracles, which was another book. Actually, it actually took me 7 years to write that book. Wow. Because I didn't want to be seen as the expert. And it's weird, because you're right. I started in 2003, you know, early 2004. So in many ways, I've been a pioneer in a lot of this. I'm one of the first bridge people who, you know, I'm extremely logical, and I'm also very spiritual. So I had to find that middle path where I was comfortable. And of course, people in my family think I'm weird. Some of them don't even talk to me anymore, but I had to get over that. But I had to find that balance place for me that allowed me to feel like I was doing my work, like I wasn't chasing, you know, this corporate carrot, and yet that I was comfortable with my spirituality. And it took a while. It was really hard. So Uriel had told me back in 2004 to write this book, and I released it in 2011. I mean, that's how long it took me to put it together and to actually get it done and get it released. And it was a terribly hard book to write, because, again, I really thought that I was doing this part-time, that this was a placeholder until I got a real job. And
I still think that's humorous. Just for the how global you are, how many people are following you. You know, it's magnificent that you were still looking for a real job.
You know, and my newsletter, I have about 4 million readers a week on my newsletter. I have, you know, thousands, tens of thousands of followers on Facebook. I have, you know, my client base. I do readings and coaching. I have over 50,000 people in my client base. But for the longest time, I thought this was, you know, just this little thing I was doing. I was going to go get a job. But the other part of that is and I take this very responsibly and take this very seriously, is when you're, and it's a calling, this is my mission. This is not just something I do just for the heck of it. This is, you know, people follow me and they trust me and they listen to me. So there's a lot of responsibility in that. And I'm very careful in what I say and how I, you know, how I say it, not to not offend anyone, because somebody's always offended by something, but because I feel that as a teacher, and I'm going to say as a leading voice now, that I can't be flippant about this. I mean, this is serious. It's serious work. So the fact that people trust me as much as they do is, like I said, something I take really seriously. And I've always been very committed to my work. So, you know, this is me. And that's why you said, you know, earlier I was really logical. I have to be myself. So I always tell clients, whether you talk to me in person, you talk to me as a client, you know me as a friend, I'm the same person. I'm the same person with you as I'm with my family, with anybody. I'm not any different.
Yeah. And I think that's what comes across. And the fact that, I mean, that's part of my, you know, I've been doing this since 2012. And my commitment is, because of that too, is that there is a trust. People begin to know that they can expect certain things. And I like to vet the people that come on my show and share their information, so that, I mean, I've made a mistake once or twice where I didn't really get, you know, I had someone on the show that I felt like they weren't completely, hadn't really done their own work and were, you know, expressing things that were a little off. But that has been very rare. And I, you know, I like to bring people who are have that spiritual understanding, the awareness of who we really are, and also are able to live in the real world, because that's where the rest, you know, we're functioning. And so I like that, you know, everyday miracles and the path to ascension, because we're talking about it, but a lot of people don't understand what all these words are. I mean, I can remember, you know, 20 years ago when people said, oh, does it, you know, well, first of all, people didn't say it 20 years ago. Does that resonate with you? The first time someone said that to me, I thought they were nuts. I thought, resonate, does it, like, I'm not a tuning fork, but, you know I know I am. But I, you know, just the language, the thing, you know, talking about ascension. And when I first started meditating, I would, you know, working on that, the energy, and I know my body thought I was going to ascend and just implode, burn up. I went through such intense heat that it was unbelievable, because it's the words, you know, that we don't understand. I have to say, look, it's not like that this time. We're not going to do that. We're staying in the body this time. You know, I had to, but you can't say those things if you don't have that understanding. And that's why I like to bring this kind of information to people, so they can get it in a practical way. And I just think that the fact that you still were looking for a job tells me more about who you really are, in the sense that you didn't get into your spiritual work from ego, and that brings it to a whole different level, and I love it. I just love that.
Thank you. You know, you talked about ascension, and I want to clear up something, because you're exactly correct. So a lot of people think, I'm going to ascend. Either the men in little green suits are going to come and pick me up, or God's going to come and take me away, or, you know, we're all going to leave the planet. And we're not. You know, I've been saying to people since probably 2010, maybe even before, and certainly in 2012, when everybody was, you know, perched on the mountaintops waiting for the spaceships to arrive, and then nothing happened. And I read this funny story about this woman who went to Costco. Now, Costco, okay, she spent $6,000 on food, like, so that she could have food for the great cataclysm, when the world ended. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, nothing happened. So now she's stuck with all this food, and Costco wouldn't take it back. So the idea that we are, you know, it was like kind of like me looking for a job all the time. So when you're not really focused on what's happening in your life in the present, you're not aware of what's going on in your life. So just as I was completely oblivious to the fact that Spirit Library, you know, had me as their number one channel because everybody liked my work, I'm like, okay, fine, but you know what? I really want a job. Can we, like, talk about the job now? when instead of really appreciating the fact that, you know, this should have been confirmation for me that I was already on the right path.
Yes.
So we talk about ascension and we think of, you know, things like destroying the ego, which is completely nonsense, or, you know, we're going to be going somewhere. We're part of the earth, so we have to look at ourselves as individuals and then part of the collective, the human family, and then we're part of the earth, and then we're part of our solar system and our galaxy and our universe. So Uriel's told me for years that our whole universe is ascending. Mm-hmm. So we are, and we are the last, Uriel always said, we're the last planet to ascend in our solar system. So everything kind of depends on us, no pressure. So as we ascend, you know, as we ascend, everything else ascends. And we see that, for example, in the heightened solar flare activity. So when the Earth can take in more radiation from the sun, we have more and more solar flares. Because the sun actually gives us energy. Well, for the same reason that we can't absorb all of this in one go. It'd be really nice if it had just kind of all happened all at once, which, again, I'm an Aries. I prefer the fast way. But if, you know, think of the path that we've gone through since 2003 or even before that. If that had happened all at once, we'd have all gone crazy.
And also, I mean, the other way was like what happened to Atlantis, just destroy it completely and then start it all over. But we don't have to do it that way this time. We have consciously decided we're going to raise our vibration and work through this and help the planet and the universe and do our part. And I want to just say something about ego. I'm not a fan of the idea that destroying ego, to me, and this is my personal belief, is that ego is our personality. It's who we are. And sometimes sometimes when ego is driving the bus, so to speak, I don't find it always that balanced. I mean, I like I like balance. I like to know that spirit and physicality and everything is balanced within me and within my life, so that if I'm just going from a place of ego, then I feel like it's pretty shallow. I mean, I like to have a more rounded point of view. I wasn't trying to say you should get rid of your ego, because I think that's ridiculous. We're all made in our unique ways with our unique personalities, and that's a good thing.
Well, like you said, I tend to be really matter of fact and no nonsense. I mean, that's my personality. I've always been like that.
Yeah.
So if you get rid of that, then what am I? Well, I don't know. I don't know how to be anything else.
Yeah.
And you know, you get someone who's too much in their ego, you get a big lesson. Like, who was that guy who, what's his name? He went to jail. He like killed three people, you know, he did an Indian.
I know he was on The Secret. I remember that guy. I don't remember his name, but yeah, he got carried away with believing in himself, in his, yeah, his
himself.
Ego.
And it's, again, it's, you know, it's a matter of integration and balance. So as long as you integrate and then everything's in balance, you'll be fine. And when you feel yourself off balance is when you start feeling really anxious. So when you start feeling really stuck, that means that something in your life is out of balance.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting when people are, and this is not just spiritual people, it's just people in general. If they are doing something a certain way and they can do it and they do it easily, and then they will turn around and tell other people, well, you can do the same thing if you follow my recipe, and that is definitely not necessarily going to happen for you. And so a person who really believes they can drink poison and it won't kill them, it's probably true for them. But to take a group of people and say, well, if you just believe what I believe and do what I do, and you can also drink poison,
right. Well,
it's not going to happen. You know, it's this is where I think we're at that point. We have to, as you say, claim our sovereignty. We're unique, we're individuals, and we do have a lot of power. But once you learn it, like you go through your stuff, you get your stuff. Then to turn around and teach people, if you're going to teach, you have to teach from that openness to know you're unique. You can't, you know, it's like when you have little kids and you ask them to clean their room. If you go in behind them and every time and say, well, you didn't do it like I do it, so it's wrong, they're never going to learn their own way. And so that's how, you know, just as an aside, because I do remember that situation with that guy. And I think his heart was in the right place, but his ego got a little carried away in Sedona. That's where that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I wanted to, you you have an awareness of the world that is, that's what I love too, is you have your spiritual side and then you have your practical side, and you're not afraid to comment on the social systems and so forth. And I'm not trying to get you to get into a political discussion here at all, but I do think that for too long we've separated those, saying that people, you know, there's people who are politicians and into politics, and then there's spiritual people, and they shouldn't comment on things that are of the political nature. Like, that is part of our evolution, is to get to the point where all people can have an opinion or an influence, or to create systems that work, to create harmony. So I was kind of wondering what you're getting for, you know, we're 2015 and we are, like you say, going through a lot of chaos. Excuse me. We are seeing a lot of system, but, you know, not specifics to any political system, but globally, do you see, are you getting feedback from Uriel or your other guides about, are we going to do this with ease and grace, or are we going to be just into chaos for a long time? What's your feeling or your...
Well, there's a couple things that are really interesting about what's going on. First of all, the people who are running things, so the theys of the world, are getting so far out in left field now that it's the things that are going on are truly unbelievable. But they're only unbelievable because we're not looking, you know, we're not turning a blind eye anymore. We're not looking at them going, okay, you know best, just tell me where to go and what to do. People are actually coming into their own power. They're coming into their own energy and their sovereignty. And they have more an idea of what they want. So the world's out of balance, but it's because we, as the family of humanity now, are looking at the world going, wait a minute, I want to live in a world that's run by peace, love, joy, and abundance, but you want a war that's run by, you know, you get all the abundance and you create the wars that I have to fight, or you get all the stuff and I get the crumbs. And that's why everything appears to be so chaotic, because the gap between where we want to be now and where the old guard is, the old 3D paradigms are, is getting wider and wider. So I have to get into aliens and disclosure and things like that, because people are starting to realize that something is wrong. It's like, if the politicians aren't running the world, then who is running the world? And I don't know if you've noticed lately that we're seeing all kinds of ads talking about aliens. Mm-hmm. And you know, and even the Pope mentioned, you know, integrating people of different places, or he said something really weird, and everybody on the internet was going, wait a minute, the Pope's talking about aliens? So there's something going on, and we know it. But again, the integration has to happen. So we have to energetically raise our frequency, you know, raise our energetic vibrations, so that we can tolerate that kind of information. Mm-hmm. So, and we're so much more connected now, and we're so much more in agreement together, that whatever happens, we're capable now of doing our own thing, of you know, not electing any politicians and going, okay, we're going to appoint this person and we want this person to do it. So as you get more empowered, you start seeing all the gaps or all the holes or the lack in the systems, because the systems weren't created to deal with empowered people.
No.
They were created to deal with sheep, you know, follow, do what you're told, follow along, and, you know, don't worry about where you're going, and we'll take care of everything. But we did that for a long time, and what's happened is they've taken care of everything as well as taken everything, and now we have the awareness of, wait a minute, the world's all messed up. Well, the world hasn't changed. We've changed.
Yeah, we certainly have, and people are starting to kind of demand the truth. And I, you know, I remember back in, it was probably before I was, I probably didn't see it firsthand, but I remembered afterwards, you know, the broadcast, the War of the Worlds or whatever it was that came across the radios and were to scare people. It was a spoof, but it was like we were being invaded by Mars or whatever, and people were screaming, and it was all this hysterical stuff. And I've often wondered, like, why is this whole thing about disclosure such a scary thing? Like, why, you know, people who, there's a lot of people who have been channeling aliens or beings from other planets who are actually working to help us. There's some beings who actually I understand are love the the evil, hate, fear-based energy that they feed off of that. So they're enjoying that. But generally speaking, why is that so scary to imagine that? Like, I actually never understood why it was frightening. Do you have a sense of that? What is it that they're afraid of? If we knew that there was life on other planets and that they were interacting with us, engaging with us. I mean, there's been lots of evidence coming forward that I don't have the facts on it, but the common knowledge that they've been giving information to different governments, trying to help us or maybe not help us. I don't know. But what's the fear factor in all of that?
Well, the fear factor has to do with the whole ascension and evolution process. And it is that, 3D is the dimension of density. So 3D is extraordinarily dense. And in order to be able to see or to contact or communicate with the higher level beings, we have to be at a higher frequency, which is where we're going. Mm-hmm. I really believe that the reason they hid all this information from us is because, and I absolutely believe this, although I can't believe I actually say these things, but I believe that around the 30s, in the 1930s, we actually were invaded. Like, the Earth was taken over. And because Truman and Eisenhower both talked about it. Yeah, we talked to aliens all the time, and people went, ha-ha, that's so funny. But he was actually telling the truth. Mm-hmm. In exchange for working on the planet and being able to be here, these civilizations, they got together with the military and they gave some secrets and all the technology you see today, where do you think it came from? All of a sudden we had TV and radio waves and all this new technology and airplanes that happened in this like a 5-year span of time. Well, it was this alien technology. So, but the problem that they're having now is, again, we've increased our frequency. They can't exist in a world that's not, they control 3D. They can't exist in anything above 3D. Mm-hmm. So that's why there's so much more fear now, is because as we increase our frequency, we make it harder and harder for them to be here. And
so they have to amp up the fear to keep us in the lower vibration, because fear is super low. So that keeps us dense. And then we're kind of going, well, not even noticing. Well, actually, we're just raising our vibration because we believe that love and harmony and peace is possible. So we're just we're just not going to fight with you people anymore. We're just not, more people taking a kind of a Gandhi attitude, a nonviolent communication. And not everybody, but a lot of people are just choosing to, I don't have to be right. I don't have to explain my opinion. This is what I think. And that's how it is. And so I can see where it's important for them to keep those who want to feed off that energy and work in that dense arena to keep us in fear and escalating conflicts. But the thing that is, to me, is quite humorous is that with the technology came communication. So now I can talk to someone in Russia, in Ukraine, in Afghanistan, in other countries, in China. I could talk to a real human being who, just like me, wants their children to be fed and go to school and healthy. And so now they're not so, evil and whatever propaganda comes up. It's not like years ago when they would go to war against people and villainize them and make them seem like they're not even human. So it was easier for us to kill and for them to do the same to us. But now we realize, hey, they put their pants on the same way, they're all eating ice cream cones, whatever it is, commonalities that make us go, but that's another human being. So now we're not so interested in annihilating a whole a culture. Or if you look at the United States and Canada as well, we have, go to any mall or anything, the food courts are full of different flavored foods that are definitely not, American tradition or Canadian tradition. They're all from all over the world. So when you start liking things about other people, kind of hard to say, well, I want to annihilate them.
Right.
And
that's the funny thing about the internet. So, the internet was developed as a military tool.
Mm-hmm.
Then it became commercialized. And, look, I'm talking to you. I talk to people all over the world. I connect with people in every single country thanks to the internet. And the internet has made us so connected now that we can interact with other people. And look at the generation of children who are young adults now, so kids now in their 20s. Remember, I took my youngest son, who's 26, to an antique store. He hates going to antique stores, but we happened to stop at this one. And I had to promise him ice cream to get him to stop. And we were looking at different things, and I saw this little black phone, you know, with the rotary dial phone. And I went, oh, look, honey, we had one of these in my house when I was growing up. And he looks at it and he goes, how do you dial it? Well, he'd never seen a rotary dial. He had no idea how it worked. So I showed him and he goes, well, that takes a really long time. What happens if you mess up? And I said, well, you have to hang up and start over again. He kind of gives me this look like, oh my God, that's just so dinosaur. That's so ancient. And I thought, you know, here's a generation of children, and the, you know, the more we get into the generations, the younger they are, that have never known what it is to not be connected globally. Just at the, you know, how many times you go to the store and you see a little 2-year-old and they're playing with their parents' phone.
Yeah. And they know what buttons to push to get what they want. Like, that blows me away. It really does. Like, I mean, I have difficulty from time to time with technology, but they just don't. I mean, the big thing is they're not afraid of it. It's what they know. It's the world they came into. And we weren't afraid of the rotary telephone either, because half of us had those Fisher Price ones with the eyeballs that moved, and, you know, it was all cool, right? You dragged it around. So, but I just find this whole conversation fascinating, and I know you're super busy, and really this, we're kind of almost out of time here, and I want to make sure that if there's anything specific that you wanted to say and share today, Jennifer, that you have that opportunity.
Well, I want to say a couple things, and thank you. First, that, you know, everyone has a message to share, so it doesn't matter whether your audience is an audience of one or an audience of 1 million, everyone's message is important, and each of us participates in the ascension cycle. So it's not one bright light and then everybody else doesn't matter. That's the very old 3D way of looking at it. It's like, imagine, you know, remember the old-fashioned Christmas bulbs where if one light went out, then all the rest of them down the street, we're really dating ourselves here. Not that all the lights go out, but it's like it dims the lights because your message is missing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, imagine a string of light bulbs and your light bulb isn't in there. What do you notice? Oh, there's one missing. So we become part of that continuum of information that uplifts everyone. I have told people for years, and I absolutely believe this, I am not everyone's teacher. I am not for everybody. And if you don't like me, fine. I'm not going to stop. But if you don't like me, then go find somebody else. There are plenty of other people out there.
Yes.
So everyone participates. Everyone's important. It's like everyone's energy is important to this process. So the more you focus on creating that peace, love, joy, and abundance in your life by raising your own vibrations, you actually create that resonance in the world. So when each of us does that, then ascension becomes like overlapping circles rather than, you know, big dots here and there. And hopefully you can find your way in through the dark in between the dots. We have this overlapping series, you know, this overlapping concentric energy that continues to build outward with every single person.
Right.
You know, as I'm talking to you, I'm thinking, you know that tree of life, so the tree of life diagram, how they're all intersected? Well, it's like that. It's like my circle interacts with your circle, and then all the people who are part of your circle become connected through that as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all participate. That's why it's important for all of us to understand how important we are. And we're moving into becoming spiritual humans, which is about being dual. So we had polarity where we're separate, and now we're become dual where we have to be both. We have to find that balance, and it's different for everyone, mm-hmm. but that balance of being human and being spiritual and finding that midpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our toughest lessons is acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And acceptance doesn't mean you have to like anyone. It doesn't mean you have to love anyone. It just means you have to realize that they're there, they're in their space, and if you want to join them, that's fine, but their space isn't wrong.
Yeah.
It's right for them. It doesn't have to be right for you, but it's right for them. And then you have to make up your own mind about whether or not you want to be part of that energy.
Yeah.
And I'm not here to change anybody. I'm not here to change anybody's mind. I'm here to share my message. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, that's great too. Because
yeah.
there are other people who like it. And I, you know, I don't like everybody's message. There are a lot of people that I don't follow because I don't agree with them. But they don't speak my truth. That's not something I resonate with. So it doesn't mean anything to me. So they're just not on my radar. But so often we think that in order, you know, acceptance and unconditional love really have to do with, I have to like everybody and I have to be nice to everyone. No, you don't.
Yeah, and there used to be, there was quite a trend there for a while that everybody has to wake up in order for us to ascend. Everybody has to do this. You know, it's like this urgency, and that's, I think, why a lot of people got turned off, because people were really pushing to other people, you have to change because we are, you know, we're in dire straits here. And at some level, maybe we did know that, and maybe that's why a lot of us did change, but I don't think it's ever going to happen. I don't think it's possible to change because somebody else wants you to. I don't think you really do change. You can maybe change your outwardly, some of your behaviors, but internally, you have to change inside and then let it come out. So,
think about your mother. So I'm thinking about my mother. So think about your mother, because she's probably the person you're least likely to change. Mm. And when I got along, I started really get along with my mother is when I stopped expecting her to change. Mm-hmm. And I stopped expecting her to behave a certain way with me. And my sister would say, well, how do you spend that much time with mom? Because I live in the same town she does. And I said, I stopped expecting her to be different.
That's a big one, because a lot of people, I mean, that goes for any relationship. I mean, your mother's a good example, especially, you know, people who say, oh, my mother was perfect and everything was great. Well, they're rare. Most of us have had other, I mean, I do. On Mother's Day, I see that, you know, it's this, you know, wow, of love, love, love. Well, I just love my mother. And then you see the odd one going, that wasn't my experience and that wasn't mine. And people feel like they're outsiders. And it's like, no, I think we all have our challenges in relationships and so forth. But what I love so much is that people can access your information if they do resonate with it. And, you know, it's there. You have they can sign up for your newsletter. They can listen to your blog talk radio show. They can get your books. And I'm going to put the link to your website on the video itself and make sure people know that they can access it there, because I love that. Whether, you know, it may not be for everyone, but I love that you're doing it. And I love that you finally stopped looking for a job, because you apparently have been given one. So the recruiting officer from on high, I recruited you a long time ago. So thank you.
One of the things I want to say real quick, you know, you said I talk about very spiritual things, but I talk about very mundane things too. So one of my most popular posts was, I talked about someone who unfriended me on Facebook. Unfriended, and that's all right by me. So I talk about how they unfriended me and how I was actually kind of glad that they did, because they hadn't been a very good friend anyway. I mean, they were my fair weather friend, but if I needed something, they were never around.
Yeah.
And another one is like five signs that you're bored with your life. I mean, a lot of people like that post too, because we get bored with stuff, and that's when you know that you're ready for a shift in energy, is when you get bored with your life. It doesn't make you happy anymore. Yeah. So there, you know, being spirit, I want to say one more thing too. Being spiritual doesn't necessarily mean that your life turns golden. You know, like the worst time in my life when I started channeling Uriel, and that, you know, that was like the absolute, one of the most horrible times in my life. But I've also known a lot of people who in the last probably 5 to 6 years, you know, have had some terrible health issues or terrible life issues. And just because you decide, okay, I'm going to step on the spiritual boat now and ride the, you know, the sea of tranquility, that's not what happens. Usually your life goes down before it comes back up. So I just want to give everybody a warning. I had that. I also had, 2011, that's like 3.5 years ago, I had to have an emergency appendectomy. Totally messed up my Christmas that year, because it was the day after our Thanksgiving in November, and ended up having this massive tumor in my appendix. Luckily, it hadn't spread anywhere. And then I had a MRSA infection 2 years ago. So, you know, I don't have an idyllic, I have a happy life. I love my life, but I don't have an idyllic life where nothing ever happens to me. I have things that happen, but
you have the tools.
I have the tools to be able to handle it and to deal with it effectively and to learn from it and move on.
Yeah. And I think that's the key right there is that there is no magic pill. There is no, you know, that to, we're all, life's going to still happen. It's whether or not we have the ability to accepted and to, you know, still be happy even in our worst moments. You know, that it's a funny thing to say that, but it's also the other part of it is spiritual people, just because you are subscribing to a spiritual idea and whatever, does not mean you're a good person. You know, it's there's that too. People say, well, that's not very, you know, spiritual, whatever. Well, spirituality is just like human. I mean, there's it all parts of dynamics of it. And sometimes it's going to show up as something people like, and sometimes it's not. I mean, I just don't think that they're just labels, and I do not like labels. So, you know, that's just my little two cents there.
Well, that's like channeled information. So just because, and a lot of people ask me about this, because September's coming up and there's all this talk about September's going to be a horrible month, is, you know, the economy going to fall apart, the world going to fall apart? No, none of that. But people think that just because information is channeled that they need to read it. Well, there's a couple things. One is, does it resonate with you? Does it feel good? The other is, just because someone says they're channeling, I mean, they could be saying anything, you know, it doesn't mean the same thing that it could for you, and it doesn't mean that it's information from on high and you need to really pay attention. It just means that this is their interpretation of what they're hearing. You either resonate with it, you like it, it feels good to you, or you don't.
And you need to actually do some, that's what I think today more than ever, you need to discern for yourself. You need to have a good intuitive, you need to have make that connection first, and then everything in your life will, you can assess from that. From that more trusting place, you know, you need to trust yourself, right. And not put your trust and faith in other people or so forth. That's also, but I personally do really enjoy what you write, and it does resonate with me. So, so I really want to thank you for sharing this time with us and giving us a little more insight into the personal side and your journey, Jennifer. It's been absolutely awesome.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Catherine. And I'm lovely to have met you. See, I have a new friend thanks to the internet.
That's right.
We've never even met in person, but we've met on Skype. So yeah,
I know. It's amazing. It is totally amazing. And for everyone watching, I want you to make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel, like this video, share it with your friends, because and don't expect them to like it if they don't, but share it, because the more informed we are, the more we know there's tools and things available, like Jennifer's books and her blog talk radio, that you can go and listen to. They're in the archives. You can listen to the previous ones, because I find that messages very often, if you're drawn to it, they still will have an important message for you, regardless of when it was recorded. So do that. And until next time, take care. Wasn't that amazing? Thank you to my guests for sharing with us today. Thank you for watching. Feel free to share the link. You can join us for live shows by going to letsgetrealchattingwithcatherine.com and listen to the replays from the show page, preview guests, and explore links to our Facebook fan page, WordPress blog, and more. We are creating an exquisite world. Until next time, take care.